Good to have all of you here. I appreciate you coming. And if you want to turn with me this morning, we're going to get into God's Word. If you have your Bible or tablet or phone or however you access God's Word, turn with me to Joshua chapter 7, and I'm going to begin reading with verse number 10. So Joshua chapter 7, verse number 10. Joshua chapter 7, verse number 10, we're going to read through that 13th verse. And the Lord said unto Joshua, get up, wherefore liest thou upon thy face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken of the accursed thing, and have stolen and disassembled also, and they've put it even among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but they turned their backs before their enemies because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Up, sanctify the people. Sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel. There is an accursed thing in the midst of thee, O Israel, and you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. And I'm going to stop reading right there this morning. Ask that you bow your heads and let us pray and ask the Lord for his help as we minister his word. Father God in heaven, we come into your presence this morning with a humbled heart. We have sensed your Holy Spirit as we have sang the songs of worship and as we have entertained your presence as we worshiped in song. And now we come, Lord, to the reading of your word. Of my own self, I am incapable of doing what I am tasked to do this morning. I pray that you would anoint me and that you would give me a divine liberty and a divine anointing of your Holy Spirit that would give me capability to impart what you would have me to impart to this congregation this morning. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will give me clarity of thought, liberty in the house of the Lord to speak, and let the anointing of God empower what is coming forth from the lips of clay. I pray, Jesus, above all things, that you would honor and glorify your name, and that you would edify and encourage and instruct, teach your people this morning. And for all of these things, Father, we will be eternally grateful, and we ask them in the mighty and glorious name of Jesus. And everyone in agreement with that prayer said amen. 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 The word amen means so be it. So be it. So I want to title the message this morning, Dare to Fight Again. Dare to Fight Again. With the spectacular events of the Jordan River and the mind-bending victory that the children of Israel had just witnessed at the walls of Jericho, the children of Israel find themselves humiliated and defeated at the city of Ai. In order this morning for me to give you a little background for some groundwork, for what the Lord has placed upon my heart, let me give you a little bit of context to the scriptures. Let me just take you briefly to the far side of Jordan and give you some of the events that lead up to our text. On the far side of Jordan, the great man that delivered, the lawgiver, the man that had led them through the wilderness, Moses, has died. Moses has gone, and now his understudy, Joshua, has been chosen by God to lead the people into the promised land. He has been picked by God, chosen by God to lead the children of Israel across the Jordan River and into the promised land. If you are a student of the Bible and you've read the story, you will know the Bible said that Joshua told the elders and the children of Israel, prepare yourself, because tomorrow we are going to enter into the promised land. He instructed the priests to take the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. That Ark of the Covenant represented the very presence of God, because the presence of God sat upon the mercy seat. So they put that Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders. And the Bible tells us that when they placed their feet into the Jordan River, amen, to the shock of everyone there, the river literally parted and the children of Israel walked across the river into the promised land on dry ground. What a thing to witness. The Bible said that it stood heap upon heap. It just backed up and parted. And they went across on dry ground. They had a memorial in the middle of the river before it ever came back together. That's a fabulous thing to imagine. Can you imagine what the children of Israel must have been thinking? God has gone before us, and God is on our side, and God is going to give us this promised land. They go and they see the city of Jericho. Thick walls. It is a fortress. They're not worried because God is with them. And God gives them instruction. And if you read the story, the Bible said that they marched around the walls one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, they were instructed, don't open your mouth, don't speak a word when you walk. That's a miracle in itself. 6 days they walk around the walls of the city, no word spoken. On the seventh day they were instructed to walk seven times. And then when given the command, the shofar was to be blown and they were to shout with a great shout. Imagine it in your mind. Let me just tell you this morning that the walls of Jericho did not come down with a battering ram, and the walls of Jericho did not come down with military might, but it came down because of a shout of praise unto God, and the hand of the living God moved and brought the walls down. And the children of Israel were eyewitnesses unto this whole thing. Can you imagine as they marched around the wall looking at that fortress? I don't know what God's going to do, but we're obeying the Lord. We're marching around the wall. And on the seventh day, the shofar blows and they shout with a great shout. And God just literally, like dominoes, knocking them over. God literally knocked down the walls and they went into the city and captured the city. God is on our side. Hey, ain't nothing we can't do. God is on our side. I would imagine that's kind of how some of them felt. Now, let me just tell you a little side story here. Before they went into Jericho, God said to them, you are not to take anything of the spoils. Don't take anything of the spoils of the city for yourself. Everything, the gold and the silver and everything that is in that city, you bring it and you put it in the treasury of the Lord. It belongs to God. Let me just tell you, there's a picture of first fruits in that. That was the first city that they were able to conquer. And God said, amen, everything in that city, the first fruits, amen, of conquering this land, that first fruits, it's mine. You bring it to the house of the Lord. You hear what I'm saying this morning? God specifically gave them instructions that they were not to take of anything in that city. They were to bring it to the house of the Lord. They go into the city and they capture the city.
And no doubt the children of Israel are thinking, wow, what a great and mighty God that we serve. Amen. Both Jordan and Jericho were awesome displays of the power and the might of the God that was going before them into the land. And no doubt they thought, we have got it made. And then came Ai. And then came Ai. And they go up against the little city of Ai. And they turn and they run. And they turn and they flee. If you read the text that we read this morning carefully, 36 men died on the battlefield. 36 warriors died. And the children of Israel, who had just experienced the Jordan River parting and the walls of Jericho coming down, they turned and ran. What happened? What happened? Why were they defeated? They come to this devastating place. Ai, let me just share with you from the beginning of chapter 7. The Bible said that Joshua sent out some spies to look at the city of Ai, and they came back, and this was their report. Don't let everybody go up. We don't need the whole army. We just need a few. It's just a small place. We got this. Amen. If God can part the Jordan River and God can knock down the walls of Jericho, amen, then Ai is no problem. Not everybody has to go. We got this. This is easy compared to what we just witnessed. And so they didn't send up the whole army. They just sent up a few. A few thousand, and then they turn and they ran because they were defeated on the battlefield. What happened? That's what the children of Israel were asking as well. What in the world? What happened? Wait a minute. If God can part the Jordan River and if God can knock down the walls of Jericho, why in the world could we not win the victory in little old Ai? What happened? Joshua kneels to the ground and casts dust upon his head and begins to call upon the Lord. And he says, would to God we had stayed on the other side of the Jordan River. Hello? Would to God we would have stayed on the other side of the Jordan River and would have never tried to accomplish this. And then he says, hey, God, you know, are you going to allow the Amorites and the Jebusites and all of these other to just wipe our name off of the earth? And God says to Joshua, get up. Get on your feet. I'll tell you why you could not stand before your enemy. Because there is an accursed thing in the camp. There's some things in the camp that ought not to be there. The scripture reveals to us, amen, that such victories in the past, and yet they are put to shame and they turn and they run from the men of Ai. What happened? Why their defeat? I just want to point out to you this morning, the first and the most obvious reason for their failure was that there was sin in the camp. There was an accursed thing in the camp. What I'm saying this morning is that they had disobeyed God. They had disobeyed the Lord and they had taken of the spoil. You know the story. The Bible said that Achan, when they went into the city of Jericho, that Achan saw a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and a little bit of silver, and he couldn't help himself. He disobeyed the Lord, and he took it for his own, and he hid it in the midst of his own tent. And nobody knew about it. Nobody knew that Achan had disobeyed God, but it affected the whole crowd. They had disobeyed the Lord and took, and they had taken of the gold and the silver that God said was his. Amen, amen, amen. I just can think in my mind this morning that Achan, as he took that gold and the Babylonian garment and the silver and hid them in his tent, and they were finally underneath the ground and hidden under the blanket, that he thought to himself, nobody knows about this. Hello? Nobody knows about this. And indeed, nobody did know about it. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. He could not hide his disobedience from God. Well, let me just share something with you this morning. Amen. You may be thinking in your mind this morning, Pastor Gary, I'm not winning very many spiritual victories. Amen. I'm not winning very many spiritual victories in my life. Well, don't shoot the messenger this morning, but just maybe there's some disobedience in your heart. Maybe there's some things in your life that ought not to be there. And I came to tell you this morning that if there is sin in your life and disobedience in your life, then you will never have spiritual success in God. God said to the children of Israel, as long as there is sin in the camp, you cannot stand before your enemies. Well, let me just assure you this morning, if there is disobedience in your life and there is sin in your heart, you are not going to be spiritually successful in fighting your adversary. Hello? Amen. Let me share with you this morning that understand that obedience is a prerequisite for spiritual victory. Obedience is a prerequisite for spiritual victory. What do you mean, Pastor Gary? I mean, you got to be living right in order to fight right. Hello? I said you got to be living right in order to fight right. If you are experiencing some defeat, maybe you need to do a little inward check and make sure that you haven't got anything buried in your heart this morning. Amen. Your past victories do not ensure your future success. And you've got to be living right in order to fight right. And maybe you have had some great experiences in the past. But I share with you this morning that if sin has entered into your life, or you are walking in blatant disobedience, you are headed for defeat. You cannot hide it from God. You may hide it from me. You may hide it from your spouse. You may hide it from your family. You may hide it from loved ones. You may put on your church mask and go, amen, to the house of the Lord like nothing is wrong. But I assure you, God knows exactly what you have hidden in your tent. I'm preaching good whether you are shouting good or not. You hear what I'm saying this morning? If you are harboring, the Bible said if you harbor sin in your heart, God will not hear your cry. God will not hear your prayer. I came to tell you today that if you're not experiencing some success, amen, you need to do a little checking and find out what you got buried in your heart. The Bible said that the heart is desperately wicked and it's very deceitful, and who can know it except God? Amen. You need to pray, God, turn your light upon my heart, and God, show me the error of my way and allow me to correct that and begin to walk in victory in your name. Amen. If there is a secret sin in our life that nobody knows about, nobody sees, I assure you, God knows all about it. And it will keep you from being successful and from overcoming your adversary. James chapter 4 and verse number 7 says these words. Submit yourself unto God. James 4 and 7. Submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. We often hear, I was talking with Brother Frank about this last week. We often hear the latter part of that verse quoted, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that ain't all that the verse says. The verse says, submit yourself unto God and then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What that tells me is I got to be in my place in order to put the enemy in his place. Amen. Don't go around trying to put the devil in his place if you ain't in your place. And our place is to be submitted to the will and the work of God. Amen, amen. Joshua, amen, God says to him, get up and sanctify the people. There's an accursed thing in the camp and you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Amen, child of God, I came here to tell you this morning that in order for us to be able to stand in the face of our adversaries, we have to have a clean heart. Amen, and in order for us to have some success in defeating our adversary, we need to be in our place, and our place is submitted and walking in obedience unto the Lord. So number one, the first reason for their downfall is because of the sin. Number two, the second reason for their downfall is they just gave it a half-hearted effort. They gave it a half-hearted effort. If you read at the beginning of that chapter, chapter 7, they send spies over and they come back and they said, hey, not everybody needs to go up. Let's don't put everything behind this maneuver. We just need a few folks. We just need a few folks. And a few folks went and a few folks ran. Hello? Well, let me just tell you something this morning. Amen. Ai seems so insignificant compared to Jericho. Ai seemed, amen, as just a small place and there wasn't no need in everybody going, but they underestimated the strength of their opponent. Can I tell you this morning that we often underestimate the strength of our opponent? Amen. The devil will do the same thing to us. He will tell us things like, there ain't no use in going to church every Sunday. Well, you don't have to pray every day. I mean, it's all right to read the word, but you don't have to eat it like it's dinner or something. You don't have to read every day. What he's saying is you can just put forth a half-hearted effort. I mean, you don't have to be fanatical about serving Jesus. You can do it without putting your best foot forward. Hello? Anybody understand what I'm saying? The enemy will come along and sit down on your shoulder and tell you don't have to pray that much and you don't need to study the Bible that much and you don't need to go to church that much. And really all he's trying to do is cause you to put forth a half-hearted effort, because he knows if you put forth a half-hearted effort, you are easy prey. What does the Bible say that the first and the great commandment is? Love the Lord thy God with what? All. Not some. All of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, all of your might, everything that's in you. Do it with all you got. Don't put forth a half-hearted effort. If you're going to serve the Lord, then serve him with gladness and with everything that's inside of you. Amen, amen. They just put forth a half-hearted effort. I promise you, if you find yourself putting forth a half-hearted effort, you are going to wind up like the road runner under a steamroller. Hello? Look at what the Bible says. They put forth a lack of effort. Verse number 3 and verse 2-5, or verse 3 through 5. It says, and they returned to Joshua and said unto him, let not all the people go up. Let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people labor thither, for they are but a few. We got this. It's easy. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000, and they fled from before the men of Ai. There's a powerful message in those scriptures for us this morning. Whenever we begin to put forth a half-hearted effort in serving God, and whenever we begin to put forth a half-hearted effort fighting against our adversary, we are going to fail and find ourselves in defeat. Don't serve the Lord in a half-hearted measure. There is danger in a half-hearted effort. There is danger this morning in a half-hearted prayer life. There is danger in a half-hearted devotion to the Word of God. There's danger in a half-hearted effort in walking with the Lord and a half-hearted commitment in serving God. Amen. Whenever we come to it in a half-hearted way, we are setting ourselves up for failure. This is what the Bible says about our adversary. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. That word vigilant means be on guard. Be vigilant, be watching, be on guard, be waiting, be watching, be looking. I thought this morning, I had to let my little Boston Terrier, you know, I got up, you know, about 5:30 and let him out the door. And every morning does the same thing. You know, he goes out and does his business and he comes back to the door and he's just sitting there watching the door waiting for me to open. I can see him through the, you know, crack in the blinds. I'm standing on the inside and I just thought, you know, I'm going to wait here for a moment, see what he does. He just sat there watching the door. He knew at any moment it would open. He was watching. He was waiting. He was being diligent. That's what we need to look like. We need to be vigilant because our adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And I promise you, if you are putting forth a half-hearted effort, he will devour your life. And the thief comes not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Don't allow him that access this morning. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 6 says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. That means being diligent, child of God. We need to be watching and we need to be walking with the Lord and putting forth a whole effort and a whole heart and serving the Lord with a whole heart. And when we do, I promise you that he will lead us onto the battlefields of life. And he will give us the victory. If we are here this morning and maybe we are here and like the children of Israel, we have been experiencing some victories in our life. And maybe there have been times when we were used in a powerful way. And maybe there are times of great celebration as we stood triumphantly over the enemy. And there have been moments when we stepped out in faith into the muddy waters of the Jordan River and God parted our own Jordan. Amen. Or brought the walls of our Jericho down. But somehow we find ourselves this morning, amen, facing Ai and facing defeat and facing discouragement and facing, amen, despondency. I came to tell you this morning that maybe we've come to the place where we've said it's no use and come to the place where we feel like we've not only lost the battle, but we've lost the war. I got some good news for you this morning. Our text is not the whole story. Because the children of Israel dared to fight again. The children of Israel dared to fight again. Maybe you are here this morning and you are feeling defeated. And maybe you are here and you feel like you haven't had any victories in your spirit. Maybe you are here and you feel like that, amen, that steamroller has run over your life. I got some good news for you. You don't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay that way. Amen. The text is not the end of the story. I declare unto you today that there is victory in the name of Jesus. I declare unto you this morning that there is power in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I declare unto you this morning that there is power in the blood of the Lamb. I declare unto you this morning that He will set the captive free. I declare unto you this morning that there is salvation rather than sin. I declare unto you this morning that He's able to give you a brand new start and give you some victory in your life if you will but dare fight again. The children of Israel dared to fight again, and they took two steps that I want to share with you this morning that caused them to win the victory in Ai. Step number one, they dealt with the sin. They dealt with the sin. Joshua got up, said, "Sanctify yourselves, because tomorrow we're going to all come before the Lord, and God is going to point out the problem." How many of you think Ai probably didn't sleep very good that night? Achan, didn't sleep very good that night. He probably tossed and turned a little bit. I hope that Joshua guy, I hope he's really not a man of God. I'm going to get found out. Hello? You know the story. They came before Joshua, came before the elders of Israel, and Achan was chosen. And Joshua said to Achan, don't try to hide this. Just tell us what it is that you've done. He said, "Well, when we were back in Jericho, I saw a Babylonian garment and a wedge of gold and some silver, and I took it, and I went and hid it in my tent. It's buried there now. They sent folks to the tent, dug it up, brought it back." Joshua said, "Why have you troubled Israel? The same God that you have troubled and disobeyed is going to trouble you today." And you know the story. The Bible said they had a rock concert in Achan's honor. Hello? And there is somewhere over there, you know, around the Jordan River, somewhere around Ai, there's a heap of stones today that's still standing there, because they did away with the problem. They did away with the disobedient. They did away with the sin problem. They did away with the accursed thing. And then they dared to fight again. Their second step was that they dared to trust God again. They dared to make another advance. And this time, they didn't just say, "You know, we're going to take a few folks, but everybody's going on this conquest. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right." Hello? Amen. I just came to tell you this morning, if you're going to do it right. Amen. You got to be living right to fight right, and you can't do it with a half heart. They dealt with the sin problem, and they dealt with the disobedience, and then, brother, they got ready for war. They got ready to fight. I just want you to know this morning that if you want to win, you got to fight with all your might and with all of your strength. And if you're going to be victorious over the enemy, then you're going to have to endure some hardness as a good soldier. Amen. Destroy the thing in your life that, amen, that's been hindering you. And let me just tell you today that sometimes the very thing that we are hanging on to is the very thing that is holding us back. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. Arise this morning in the power of the Holy Spirit, and arise in the power of God, and get prayed up, get powered up, and put on your war clothes and get ready to fight your adversary. Paul said in Ephesians 6 and 10, he said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." And then he said, "Put on the whole armor of God." Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand the wiles of the enemy. And we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. And then he said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And then, having done all to stand, Stand therefore with your loins girt about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And then he said, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the enemy. And he said, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and dare to fight the enemy again. And when you've got the accursed thing out of your life, God will give you the victory. God will give you the victory. I came to tell someone this morning that the heart of a warrior needs to beat again. Some of you have been dismayed, and some of you have been discouraged, and some of you have felt like you've gone through your AI. You feel like you've been defeated. I came to tell you this morning, amen, check your heart, get prayed up, get powered up, put on your war clothes, and dare to fight again, because God is not through with you yet. God is not through with you yet. Amen. Tell the devil, you may have knocked me down and you may have won the battle, but you ain't won the war. Tell the enemy, you may have destroyed me. You should have destroyed me when you had me knocked down. I am back on my feet and I have got it right this time. Amen. And by the grace and the power of a living God, I am going through. Amen. Tell you this time, I'm not going to be doing any running. And this time, I'm not going to put forth no half-hearted effort. And this time, I got the accursed thing dug up out of my heart. And this time, amen, I don't plan on backing down. And this time, I'm going to keep on trucking until the Lord gives me the victory. I want you to understand this morning that God wants you to be the victor and not the victim. Amen. Dare to fight again. Dare to fight your opponent again. He may have knocked you down, but he didn't have to knock you out. He may have knocked you down, but that doesn't mean you're out. God can give you a brand new start. Heads are bowed this morning. Eyes are closed, if you will. Please, all over the building. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dare to fight again. Don't put forth no half-hearted effort. Don't try fighting the enemy with disobedience in your life. Get it right with God. Get it right with God. Dig this stuff up out of the tent that ought not to be there. I know what I'm preaching this morning ain't popular, but I got to tell you something. Amen. Sometimes we need to hear the truth so we can live right and fight right. Amen. Jesus, in your wonderful and mighty name this morning, Lord, we come into your presence, and I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit that I sensed as I preached your word. Father, if we are here in this house this morning and we are feeling discouraged and we are feeling like we have been knocked down and knocked out and we feel like we are standing before our own AI, help us to see if there is disobedience in our life. Help us to understand if there's something buried in our personal tent that needs to come, that needs to be dug up and brought forth in our life. Bring it to our hearts this morning. Help us this morning, I pray, Heavenly Father, to understand and see the condition of our soul and the condition of our effort. If we've been putting forth a half-hearted commitment, correct our hearts this morning, Jesus. Father, I pray this morning, those that are here under the sound of my voice and listen by way of the internet, that you will touch their lives and minister to them. Help us, I pray, Jesus, to dare to fight again. We may have been knocked down, but we're not out. We may be oppressed on every side, but we are not going under. We are in the palm of your hand this morning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed all over the building. How many of you would lift up your hand and say, "Preacher, I needed to hear this message today"? Yes, yes, yes. Yes, all over the building, God is seeing hands. Yes. Stand to your feet, please. I want you to personally pray. I want you to personally pray. Father, I'm going to dare to fight again. I'm going to dare to fight again. I'm going to put on my war clothes. I'm going to put forth a wholehearted effort. I'm not going to make a half-hearted commitment. If I'm going to serve you, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart. Shine your light into my heart, Lord. I don't want to walk in disobedience. I don't want anything to come between me and you. That's my personal prayer. Lord, I don't want anything in my life to come between me and you. Amen. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, give them the strength and the audacity to dare to fight again and come out the victor on the other side. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. No weapon that is formed against us will be able to prosper. Your word said that if God is for us, then who can stand against us? Your word declares that there are more that be with us than they that be with him. Give us that strength and that commitment to dare to fight again. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, don't let us leave this place like we came. But let us take this word to heart and grow by it and learn from it and apply it. In Jesus' name I ask. Amen. Come on and say.